are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the fan-sided fan site for the Timberwolves on the Fansided Network. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code Locked On. You'll get $10 off your next order. Happy Friday, happy weekend, everybody, whenever you're listening to this. Today, we are going to jump back into the player snapshot series. We've had a couple days off. We're going to talk about Jake Lehman, and it's a little trickier. He only appeared in 23 games for the Wolves last season, but we can evaluate what we know about Jake Lehman previously, you know, coming to Minnesota, what we saw from him in a short amount of time last year, what his fit is on the Wolves roster moving forward. And off the top, I want to touch on a couple of Locked On NBA Network items, news and notes type things before we get into Jake's profile for or snapshot from the year. First, a quick reminder to please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts, and go ahead and follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, so I wanted to hit, a couple weeks ago we talked about some of the postseason awards, the NBA awards that Locked On NBA hosts voted on, how I voted, why I voted that way, what the results were of the poll. We've done a couple of other polls. One of the more recent ones we did was basically just who's going to win, who's going to compete in the finals, who's going to win the finals, so who's going to come out of both conferences. And we did an overall poll of all the hosts. So the way things ended up, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. It's not super shocking, but it's interesting. Leading the way for the Western Conference with 56% of the vote for who will come out of the West, the Los Angeles Clippers, or the LA Clippers, I guess, technically. The Los Angeles Lakers were at 40%. The only other team to receive votes to come out of the West was the Houston Rockets. They received 4% of the vote. My vote was the Lakers. My reasoning, I mean, I think it's either going to be the Lakers or Clippers. I went with the Lakers because they have the best player from the two teams, obviously with LeBron James. And you could argue Anthony Davis is the second best player too, depending on what you think about Kawhi Leonard's season and Paul George. You know, if you look at the two superstars in both teams, he's the fourth best superstar. He hasn't done it in the playoffs. And I know Anthony Davis hasn't really either. But I think ultimately you look at LeBron taking the Lakers past the Clippers in the conference finals. I also, even though the Lakers, I like the Clippers' depth a little bit more than the Lakers. I just have a feeling that in a short series, that's not going to matter quite as much. And ultimately, LeBron will get the Lakers back to the finals. Out of the East, I picked the Milwaukee Bucks. 64% of hosts picked the Bucks. 28% picked the Toronto Raptors, and 8%, which I think is two votes, picked the Boston Celtics to come out of the Eastern Conference. My take on this, I think the Bucks are the best all-around team in the league. I think they have the best all-around player in the league in Giannis, and it's that simple. In terms of the overall winner of the NBA championship, when it's all said and done, the Clippers somewhat surprisingly got 44% of the vote. Second place was the Lakers, 24%, edging out the Bucks by one vote. The Bucks got 20% of the vote. The Raptors had a couple of votes at 8%, and the Rockets got one vote to win the championship, so 4% of the overall pie. Picking the Clippers to win is interesting. Again, I think the depth matters, and I guess over the course of the playoffs, it should matter. But you got to, I mean, we did this poll after the Montrezl Harrell absence happened and some of those things. So, I mean, it's not like, I just think the Clippers have more obstacles than some of these other teams to making it. The Lakers are obviously a little bit older. And, you know, Anthony Davis, again, hasn't really, I don't know that he's gotten past the second round of the playoffs before. I don't think he has. And then, of course, the knock on the Bucks is they've never done it or whatever, you know, which I think is overall an overrated argument. But I picked the Bucks as my selection to win the championship because, again, I think they're the best all-around team with the best all-around player. And so that they finished third behind the Lakers and Clippers was interesting. I understand that whoever comes out of the West will have a tougher road to get to the finals than the Milwaukee Bucks will, assuming they get there. I don't know. I was just surprised that they finished in third and only had, what is that? I guess five people voted for the Bucks to win the championship. So that was my vote. I feel good about that. We'll see how it all turns out. And obviously we'll check back. And of course I'll let everybody know if my prediction was indeed correct. The other thing I want to hit on here off the top is, related to the mock draft selection that I made. I just want to really quickly kind of reiterate what my pick was. If you didn't listen to Thursday's episode, please go back and listen to it. It was a crossover episode with the good folks at Locked On Hornets and Locked On Pistons. the 3.0 edition of the Locked On NBA Network Delete 8 mock draft, where we did a random draft lottery order. The Wolves this time got the third pick, so I was able to select third. And I'm not going to spoil it too much, so please go back and listen to it, because everybody gives their reasoning for what their pick was and reacts to the other picks. The overall, how things went this time around in the mock draft with the Locked On NBA hosts. But basically, I guess I'll spoil what my pick was for the Timberwolves, but please still go back and listen to it. I picked Killian Hayes third, and I recently wrote for Dunking with Wolves why I think Killian Hayes is a better prospect and fit for the Timberwolves than LaMelo Ball. In a vacuum, LaMelo Ball is a better prospect than Killian Hayes, and I buy that completely. I think his court vision is a transcendent, potentially generational type skill that nobody else in this draft has. However, Hayes is probably the next best guy in the draft in terms of court vision and passing and that whole package. And I think because he's a better shooter, he's been improving at least, and his form's a lot better, and there's reason to think he'll be a more successful jump shooter at the NBA level. And he's got better mid-range feel, and again, a lot of those same skills as D'Angelo Russell. I think he's a better fit for the Timberwolves because he could play off the ball. He could, you know, split ball handling and playmaking duties with D'Angelo Russell. Whereas LaMelo Ball, you're not going to put him off the ball. He's going to control the ball, and D'Angelo Russell's not going to be handling nearly as much. And I just don't think there's a fit there. And there's people that disagree with me. Dylan Jackson, I've had on the show before. He's my co-editor at Dunking with Wolves. He feels strongly that LaMelo Ball could be a fit for the Timberwolves. I don't buy that. I do think he's got the most star power. And again, in the vacuum, you could argue he's the best player in this draft, the best prospect in this draft. But I don't think he's a great fit for the Timberwolves. I continue to think the Wolves are going to trade back, if at all possible, but they're also not the only team that's going to try and do that. I mean, do you really think the Golden State Warriors want to pick first in this draft? Probably not. I think they'd rather trade back, pick up a couple assets. They'd rather get more lottery tickets, so to speak, late in the first round, early second round, than be locked into an $8, $9 million a year contract or whatever the top couple picks get. I think the number three pick is $7.8 million guaranteed. The Warriors don't want to do that. They've got enough salary tied up in other guys. They'd rather take a bunch of, you know, try and hit on more Kevon Looney's late in the first round, or Jordan Bell's and guys like that, versus picking really high in a draft that's not super tight. I mean, there isn't a consensus number one or number two or number three pick. It's basically there's three to five guys who all have a shot at going in the top two. And then there's a little bit more depth as you move down. So I think the Wolves, the Warriors, some of these teams that have some established stars on their roster are going to try their best to trade back, which is what I think the Wolves will ultimately do. That said, we still have to debate some of these things, like the Hayes versus Ball argument, I think is legitimate, especially if the Wolves end up with one of the top three picks in the draft. So head on over to Dunking with Wolves. Check out that article that I wrote where I kind of dive into that a little bit further and explain a little bit more why I think Hayes is a better fit for the Wolves roster than LaMelo Ball. All right, let's jump into Jake Lehman. Before we do that, let's get back into our great friends that are back now with us in Built Bar. Built Bar is fantastic. It is a new and improved Built Bar. It was already the best tasting protein bar ever, but Built Bar has continued to improve their product. They've actually revamped their logo, their packaging. They've added six new flavors. There's now 18 amazing flavors. There's nut flavors. There's also non-nut flavors. The six new flavors that Built Bar has: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. I'm supposed to be getting a package of the brand new Built Bars in the mail soon, and I can't wait. I will pass along my favorite as soon as I get the opportunity. We talked about this a lot earlier in the spring and summer about getting out there and hiking more, being more active, and needing filling snacks that aren't too filling, that serve as, you know, give you that energy, give you that boost, can even serve as a meal replacement, and they taste delicious. Talked about this plenty on this podcast. They're perfect if you're health conscious, if you're trying to lose weight, if you're trying to maintain weight, we'll still eat a delicious treat. They taste literally exactly like a candy bar. They're all low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high in fiber. They're great if you're on a keto diet. An example, the flavor profile of the cookies and cream flavor, which I can't wait to try. 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories. And again, this tastes like a candy bar. 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams net carbs. If you purchase using our promo code, you'll get a free cooler while supplies last. This will only last for a week, maybe 2 weeks. This is a very limited time offer to get your free cooler. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON. You get $10 off your next order. Promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com for $10 off and your free cooler while supplies last. All right, our player snapshot series, we're about halfway through the roster. If you've been listening, this will be a very quick explanation. Basically, I'm going through the entire roster, starting with the guards, working to the bigs, taking each player's season with the Timberwolves in 2019-20, evaluating what they did with the Wolves and if applicable, what they did the year before, what their outlook is for the coming year, what their role is on the roster. Do they have trade value? Is there a chance that they get moved in the offseason? What's their contract situation? Are they a free agent? Are they going to be easier or harder to move, et cetera? And then what could their role be on the 2020-21 Timberwolves? Do they have a future in Minnesota? And so for Jake Lehman, he's a really interesting player in this whole thing. So Lehman was acquired in a sign and trade with the Portland Trailblazers last offseason. And really, for what he is and what he could be and should be, the Timberwolves got a steal with Jake Lehman. I mean, I know that he's far from a star. He's a role player, but he's a solid role player. And the Wolves signed him to a 3-year deal as part of the sign and trade for only just under $11.3 million. So he got paid $3.5 million this year, about $3.7 million next year, and $3.9 million the year after that. So he's on the roster for two more years at under $7 million, or about $7 million, and I mean, he is a rotation player on a playoff caliber type team. He was that in Portland last year. I mean, he was kind of more of a fringy member of the rotation by the time the team got to the playoffs, but he started for stretches for that Portland team in 18-19. He actually started in 33 games for a Portland team that ultimately went to the conference finals and was swept by Golden State. He was a very fringe member of the rotation by the time they made the playoffs, but he was a big part of that team as they dealt with injuries during the regular season, was a solid contributor all the way around, more of a streaky shooter than anything else. He's not quite a 3-and-D player because he's never shot above league average from beyond the arc. And he's probably more of an average defender. He's certainly not a shutdown defender. The reason why you want Jake Lehman on your team is because he's versatile and he can do multiple things well. He doesn't do anything great. He is very athletic. He's got good size. He's switchable. So he's 6'8", can play essentially both forward spots and can switch onto even some twos and some fives depending on the situation without completely embarrassing himself because of his athleticism. And again, he's 6'8". He understands defensive concepts and schemes fairly well. He can get beat one-on-one a little bit, which is probably his biggest issue defensively, because he doesn't, while he's athletic, his lateral quickness isn't otherworldly by any means. Offensively, he doesn't really put the ball on the floor much. He can and get to the basket and dunk over people. He did that in Portland. He did it a couple of times in Minnesota, especially before he got hurt early in the season. But he's more of a cutter and a transition guy, which that's essentially what like Josh Okogie is. And Jarrett Culver is supposed to be more than that. He's supposed to be a higher usage guy and a playmaker, but he hasn't been. Malik Beasley is more of a cutter and a transition guy. Now, the difference between Beasley and Lehman is obviously, Beasley's a two, but he also is a 40% three-point shooter, and Lehman is a career 31% three-point shooter. So the idea of Jake Lehman continues to be better than what Jake Lehman's actually done on the court. However, during his lone season with the Timberwolves this last year, he only played in 23 games because of his injuries. When he played early in the season, before he went down with his injury, I mean, the Timberwolves started 3-0. Y'all remember that. They started 4-1. They had 9 wins when he got hurt. They were 9-6, I believe, when he went down in that game in Utah that the Wolves actually hung on and won that game. And this team was 9-6. They had just beaten Utah on the road by 10 points. Two nights later in the home and home, they got beat by Utah. They got beat by Phoenix. And then they went on that road trip, won 2 games in Atlanta and San Antonio again without Lehman. And then that's when the 11-game losing streak started. One of 2 double-digit losing streaks. Lehman didn't play again until late February. So he only appeared in 9 games after the injury before the season was shut down. He was okay in those 9 games. Before the injury, he actually did even more damage prior to the injury. He only started 2 games, which was the 2 right before he got hurt. But he averaged 10.5 points a game, 3 rebounds a game, was shooting 35% from beyond the arc before he got hurt. In fact, the game before the game in which he got hurt was a home loss to Houston. The Wolves lost by 20, but Lehman put up 21 points, 5 rebounds, a couple of assists, shot 3 of 4 from 3, 9 of 14 overall from the floor, had his highest scoring game of the season. And then after the injury, he came back. His role was a little bit more marginalized, and I think his minutes were being limited. He played between 13 and 19 minutes in every game. But in his 9 games after return from injury in late February, early March, he put up 7 points a game and under 2 rebounds, less than half an assist per game, shot 28% from 3. So clearly he was still working himself back into shape. Jake Lehman's not going to be a star. I don't think anybody should be disillusioned by that. However, there's something to be said for guys who know their role. He clearly is not trying to be a high usage star. He's not trying to be a distributor. He's trying to be a guy who knocks on open shots, scores in transition, cuts in the half court, knows how to play on defense, and uses his athleticism to his advantage. And that's exactly what he is. And at under $4 million a year, I think it's fair to call that a steal. I mean, of all the guys on the Wolves roster, paying under $4 million for Jake Lehman, that's better value than a lot of these guys that are getting paid a lot more money, certainly than, say, Jarrett Culver at $6 million or whatever he's getting on his rookie deal. So Lehman is he's going to be a plug-and-play guy again this year, whether it be in the starting lineup or off the bench. I would imagine he comes off the bench with Beasley starting at the 2 and Okogie probably starting at the 3 and probably Hernan Gomez starting at the 4. But you could see the Wolves try Lehman starting at the 4, depending on whether or not Hernan Gomez is back. They may even try Lehman at the 4, you know, some of the time with Hernan Gomez coming off the bench. And I want to get into that a little bit more, what his role could be moving forward here coming up next. But first, start your morning with the news that matters in just 10 minutes. Axios Today host Nyla Boodoo and a team of award-winning journalists will bring you the latest analysis and insight into the trends shaping our world. All right, so Jake Lehman's role on the 2020-21 Timberwolves. As I mentioned right before the break, I think that there is a chance he ends up in the starting lineup. Remember, he started 2 games right before his injury last year. If he can shoot something around league average from 3, be effective defensively, and be active in transition, and also rebound his position well, there's something to be said for, you know, a guy who's essentially positionless and knows his role. He's not going to be, you know, trying to take over too many possessions like a Jarrett Culver might be expected to, because if Culver's not taking over a possession by initiating offense or by trying to score, he's not bringing much else to the table. Whereas Lehman, you know, he's going to be on the court and do his job and for the most part, you know, be effective and stay within himself. So I could see a world where, especially if Malik Beasley's in the starting lineup, maybe the Wolves take Hernan Gomez, put him on the bench, or maybe Hernan Gomez isn't back in restricted free agency and Lehman becomes the starting 4. I think there's a world in which that happens. And of course, the Wolves lineup would be pretty small, but he mostly played the 4 last year with the Timberwolves anyways when he was on the court after playing mostly small forward in Portland. And the Wolves on-off numbers were quite good with Lehman, or I should say Lehman's on-off numbers were really good. Per 100 possessions, his on-off number, and again, just 23 games, so extremely painfully small sample size, was a plus 7.3, according to Basketball Reference, was the net per 100 possessions. And again, that's him being solid on both ends of the court. So there's a real scenario in which he's the starting 4. I think it's more likely both he and James Johnson come off the bench as kind of the, they could play together with Lehman at the 3 and Johnson at the 4, or even slide them up a notch, put Johnson at the 5 and Lehman at the 4. Or depending on matchups, one guy could see more minutes than the other guy, depending on the game and who they're playing against. You know, they're different players, but they're both pretty switchable with 3s and 4s and Johnson even onto 5s. And clearly that's something that Gerson Rosas and the Timberwolves new front office is really important to them, is to not entirely positionless basketball. And they're not going full Houston Rockets by putting a guy who's 6'6 or 6'7 at center. You're not going to do that with Towns on the team, but again, going to D'Angelo Russell at the point, Towns at the 5, and then figure everything out in between, get a bunch of guys who are between 6'4 and 6'9 and make sure that they're switchable, which is one of the reasons why Malik Beasley isn't quite a perfect fit with this team, because he can really only guard 2s and he doesn't even do that all that well. But then again, if he shoots 45% from 3 and is a monster in transition, you figure it out. But that's why these guys like Jake Lehman, like James Johnson, to a lesser extent, Jarrett Culver, Keelan Martin, Josh Okogie, finding guys that can guard multiple positions and hopefully deliver something resembling league average offense, be good in transition, knock down open 3s. Culver is the only one of those guys that will have any sort of playmaking responsibility. And that was because the Wolves clearly hoped he could grow into a starting 2 guard. And I'm not saying he can't, it's still possible. But I keep bringing him up because he's one of the guys on this team, one of the few guys that has a ceiling that hasn't yet been achieved. And Lehman, you know, even though he's only 26, he's going to be a role player and potentially a starting caliber role type player for his career. And that's his role and he fits. And at under $4 million, he's really a perfect fit for this team. In terms of trade value, Lehman's got some trade value, but why would the Wolves trade him? I've already explained why he's such a great value. The Wolves are far more likely to trade somebody with a higher contract number, like a Jarrett Culver or Josh Okogie, maybe. I think that's unlikely still. Or somebody with a lower contract number who's not part of the rotation, like an Omari Spellman or a Jacob Evans, who are both making around $2 million a year and aren't going to be part of the Wolves' rotation this year. So they could be used as salary filler. Lehman, at under $4 million a year, is a rotation guy at, you know, 15 to 20 minutes a game. Why bother trading him? That's exactly what you're trying to do with these draft picks that aren't, you know, top lottery picks. You're trying to find guys who can provide value at their contract number, cost certainty. They know they're paying him 3.7, 3.8 million over the next couple of years each year. And that's not changing. And they also know what they're going to get out of a healthy Jake Lehman. And so that's why he's so valuable to this roster and so valuable to the cap sheet really too. I know there's kind of this Twitter movement out there related to how Jake Lehman's this difference maker for the Timberwolves. I'm not going to go that far. I think 23 games is far too small a sample size to make a declarative statement like Jake Lehman's the glue that holds this team together or something like that. However, again, there's something to be said for guys that know their role, and all of the good teams have guys like that who are on the court and they can contribute in multiple areas and be solid. And I think that's one of the reasons why those on-off numbers are so positive in Lehman's direction, why the Timberwolves were far better from a win-loss perspective with him on the court than when he wasn't healthy. But I don't think that suddenly the Wolves are going to be a playoff team if Jake Lehman stays healthy next year. There are people that think that, at least based on Twitter, but I guess you can find anything out there. But I think Lehman's an important piece of this team. I think he's somebody who will be a big part of this team's turnaround if they're able to win 40 plus games and make the playoffs next year. I should point out that I've been doing the B-ball index numbers for everybody on the Wolves roster to this point. Unfortunately, because he only played in 23 games, there wasn't enough data to eliminate the small sample sizes. And so he doesn't have a profile for last year on B-ball index. However, the B-ball index numbers will definitely be back as we move through the roster and get to the Hernan Gomez's and obviously Towns and James Johnson and some of these other guys as we get into the front court for the Timberwolves. So we're going to keep moving through these snapshots next week. We are T-minus, what, like 5 days or I guess 6 days from the NBA draft lottery next Thursday. So we definitely will be covering that. We'll have a big show next Friday, breaking down the selection and any mock drafts that, of course, will be published right after that happens. So stay tuned next week for that. We'll actually be able to get back into talking draft and it'll make a lot more sense when we know where the Wolves are actually picking. So that is next week. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to this podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google. You can follow us on Twitter at Lockdown T-Wolves. That's at Lockdown T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And as a reminder, our great friends at Built Bar are today's title sponsor of the episode. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your next order. And remember, while supplies last, a Built Bar cooler as well. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Lockdown Wolves podcast. Have a great weekend and we'll catch you next time.